Welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is a man who is currently recording this episode from James Bond Island. It's Sean Avishire.
It's not just James Bond Island, it's the island, Mr. Hoffmeyer, where...
It's the island, Mr. Hoffmeyer.
Where
I like that place.
Scaramanga.
Yeah, Scaramanga.
I'm the man with the golden gun.
You're the man with the golden gun.
Yes, I'm on his island right now, because obviously Bond won, but then Bond obviously had to go off for other missions, so therefore I moved in.
Oh, he gets rid of the resident, Scaramanga's gone, and so is Knick-Knack, and then you just move in. And you've been there.
Yeah, so I've moved in. You know, I got this really great game room that I get to play in with lots of mirrors. There's a lot of James Bond mannequins that I can kind of practice against. It's Roger Moore. You know, I got to get some Daniel Craig mannequins here. But right now, you know, Roger Moore, it's good. Everything's fine.
What happened when people visit the island?
Well, if you're getting invited to the island, I feel like I have to honor Scaramanga. So, therefore, this is the reason you haven't been invited, because if I invite you, then it's obviously going to turn into a one-on-one duel to the death.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't have friends. I just bring my enemies.
Is it true that it's you give someone a gun with one bullet, but you have one rocket launcher? Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's your island, right?
You can make absolutely true.
It's your island. Yes. You make the rules.
Yeah, it's my island. So, but I try to honor late Christopher Lee and try to honor the rules and precedents that he has set forth.
Got it. Well, that's honorable. I mean,
speaking of living on a secluded island, that leads us to what we're talking about today.
Yeah, it does. Before I brought you in, you've talked about the worst Bond movie ever, which is Quantum of Solace with me. And then you've also joined the podcast to do a football draft, but with only characters from 1980s comedies and David Fincher films. So that was an interesting draft. I mean, the football team was pretty good. We've had some people listen to it. They admit that your team would be better kind of in the locker room and speaking, but it might be over in like the first quarter with my squad with an alien running around.
Well, between the alien and then Seymour the plant, while not mobile, how do you get around it with that, with the arm, with the wingspan? So we would have been fired up and charged, ready to go, leaving the locker room, and then it could have been a 7,000-0 final when they actually played the game. Chemistry only gets you so far, Mark.
The first 2 weeks, though, the lead up to it, your team would be amazing. Like, you guys would just be...
Oh, yeah.
Chatty, and I mean, you guys would be all over Sports Sports Illustrated, Wheaties. I'd be like remember the Trailblazers from the 2000s, or I'd be like the Pistons. Like, I'd be like the grumpy team, and then you guys would be kind of, you know, the celebrated kind of thing. Like, we'd be the Drago, you'd be the, let's see, the Carl Weathers, you'd be the Apollo Creed.
Nobody wanted them to win. They were just kind of jerks and whatever, you know, just no, you know, the Jordan Bulls, or, you know, we'd have the sexy TV team that everybody wants to interview. But then we'd get on the field and, well, a different story altogether would start to start to evolve. Yeah, I don't think we could have matched up with you mano a mano on the field.
That would have been a pretty fun app. I mean, I'd love to watch the game, but if you can't obviously watch the game, but go check out the episode. It's a fun one. And that kind of led us into another thought that we have, is we're going to put together a group of movie characters who can live, who could easily live alone on a desert island. So people have desert island movies. Like, what 5 movies would you take to a desert island? We're taking movie characters and putting them on a desert island by themselves. And we're not going obvious. We're not doing Wall-E. We're not doing Castaway. We're making funky picks, kind of, you know, different.
You can't go Scaramanga.
yeah, exactly. Like, we're going. So, I mean, I had some people that I thought about, but they lived alone too long. But then I kind of changed it. I thought maybe this would work. So I have some funky picks for you, man. And now, is it okay if I start first? I got a good first pick to start us off. And I think
so. You go first. Yeah. We're doing how many rounds?
8. So we're picking 8. We're going to do 4, then 4. 4 break, and then we'll finish up with 4. So what I have here is I'm going to start off with Michael Myers.
Good.
Now, Michael Myers, I mean, he lived on his own for a long time. He was in the institution for, you know, like, what, 20 years? No, wait, like 17, 15 years, 20 years. Gets out. Then he attacks Laurie. But then if you're going to believe the lore of this character and all the different variations, I mean, this is a guy that has sort of existed on his own for a very long time. And in Halloween Resurrection, we learn that he's been squatting in a house eating rats. I mean, he slinks by. No one ever sees him. I think if you dump Michael Myers on a desert island, he will have no problem hunting. He will not be afraid of any of the creatures. I mean, he's basically immortal. So if there's like snakes on there, he'll walk all day. He's walking all the time. I think he would be totally fine just murdering everything on the island by himself. And just sort of hunting, chilling, waiting to get back to Lori. Like, he's just that patient.
That, you know what? I was, you're more into the horror. So I was thinking in terms of the horror genre, but that one did not pop up. And I think that's actually a brilliant number one pick. I mean, that's Joe Burrow, baby. I mean, I'm actually a little impressed and a little upset I didn't think about that myself. That's great.
Now, he's going to be – all right, so Michael Myers, he's going to be – like I would love to watch him build a palm frond home. Like, nothing would make me happier because we know that he can get in cars and drive cross-country, and we know that he knows how to fill up gas in vehicles. He obviously knows how to use a map. So I would just like to watch him build a structure. Like, that's my movie I want, is Castaway with Michael Myers – dealing with bad teeth, dealing with palm fronds, stuff like that. That would make me, like, eating sharks, just going in the ocean and dragging one out. That's the movie I want. So that's why I went with Michael Myers, number one.
All right, that's good. That's good. Now, for my first pick, I went to the fringes of our rule book here, okay?
All right.
The guy I think that could easily survive on a desert island. You know, I had a lot, but I kept coming back. I got to go Bernie Lomax from Weekend at Bernie's.
All right.
Well, think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it. You know, you got to think about it for a second, but the man is a survivor.
Oh,
even
yeah.
Dead, he is a survivor.
He just keeps coming. He keeps on ticking.
Yeah. No matter what would happen on that island, you could have monsters show up, right? You could have animals, you know. You could have sharks jump out of the water. Bernie is going to figure out a way.
Yeah.
Because he always figures out a way to always stay relevant to what is going on at all times. So every time an animal, a disease, anything that tries to get rid of Bernie, it ain't happening.
Mm-mm. Not
Bernie will always win out at the end. So – I the more I thought about it, Bernie Lomax, man, he is going to be my guy on that island, and he's going to make it.
And let's say people show up to the island, he could just play dead. And they're like, oh, this guy's dead already. Like, they'll just bury him, and then when they leave, he'll just dig his way out and go back to his life. Like, he's not worried about it.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, if like, in Weekend at Bernie's 2, all of a sudden, if there's the voodoo that occurs, and he all of a sudden he kind of starts dancing and coming to life, if he was alone, he'd be great. And then all of a sudden, let's just say, people start to come to the island or whatever, I think he'd be their leader.
Really?
I think people would grab it. I think people would be like, man, look at this guy. I think he just kind of has that kind of personality.
Silent, strong, steady.
That's who I would want to see. That would be kind of number one on my list is definitely Bernie Lomax. It would be pretty awesome to see what he could do.
Have you watched Swiss Army Man with Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe, where Daniel Radcliffe plays a farting corpse? And Paul Dano just goes through the woods with him, and he rides him like a jet ski.
No, I haven't. But now I'm making a note here that that is going to be something I do in the next 48 to 72 hours.
It's an odd move. Like he literally rides Daniel Radcliffe like a jet ski while Daniel Radcliffe is farting. It's magic.
I haven't seen it, but the way you describe the scene, I'm surprised. I'm sure when AFI comes out with their next big list of the 100 greatest scenes in movie history, I'm sure it's going to have, Michael Corleone in The Baptism, in Godfather 1, Brando yelling Stella, and Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe. The way you describe it, it's got to be in the top 5 to 10 greatest scenes of all time. Just the way you describe it.
It would take Kramer versus Kramer's spot.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. As far as intensity, I don't even think it's close.
Imagine if Meryl Streep and Dustin Hoffman were in Swiss Army Man. Imagine if the cast was...
I would pay to see Meryl Streep riding Daniel
Radcliffe. While he's just farting. There's so many farts in that movie. The Lighthouse is fart heavy. There's been some good farting in independent film. All right, moving on. This character is definitely not known for her flatulence, but I'm going to go... so weird. I'm going to go for Storm from X-Men. Holly Berry's character, let's say she can't fly, but if she's stuck on a desert or an island, like a deserted island by herself, you want Storm with you just simply because she can make it rain. So you need fresh water. Let's say there's no fresh water on this. She can just pull the skies together and
there you go.
Then you have water. If there's a boat that's too far away, she can maybe create like a tidal wave and bring the boat to the shore. I mean, you want Storm there because she can cause storms. You have water at all times when you are with Storm. And if you need fire, yeah, lightning. She'll send lightning.
That's the lightning I didn't even think of. I was thinking of obviously you need fresh water,
mm-hmm,
because you can't drink out of the ocean. So therefore, the creation of water allows you to, like, water to survive. I think you're absolutely right. That's actually – and it kind of fits in the sense that you can't leave the island. I mean, you can't – you know, if you had the ability to, like, fly to L.A. and get some groceries or something, that kind of would defeat
the purpose. Go to Whole Foods, right?
You know, you got to be able to – you have to keep them stuck, and that would apply to Storm. So that's actually very – I'm actually impressed with pick one and two here, man. This is well thought out.
And think about this, too. Michael Myers is always in the jumpsuit, so he's not going to have to deal with a lot of sunburn. Because if you go to an island, you're going to have the issue of sunburn. There's a very real possibility of that. And also, Storm, she can just keep a cloud over her head. Always shaded.
Yes. That's the one thing about when you think about the movie Castaway, you know, when he came back, I would have liked Castaway 2, where Chuck had to go to a dermatologist. Yeah. So, I think that was one of the plot holes to that movie. I think you're right about thinking it through in terms of skin care and skin cancer. I think that is well done on your part. And that's, I think, that your advanced scouting team for Kurt Russell's beard looks into those types of things,
yep,
that allow you to be successful in your draft.
Yeah, I'm very happy right now with my two picks. So who do you got for your second pick?
All right, so I could go a lot of different ways here. I was trying to think. You know, Bernie was so good. But for my second pick, I got to go HAL 9000 from A Space Odyssey, man. We're talking about, first, he's a machine, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he is an incredibly adaptive machine.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
HAL would be on the island, and he would be initially processing everything that's going on the island. He would know... okay, what are the plant life on here? How do I survive? And he would just be constantly downloading it. He would constantly be, as artificial intelligence, always figuring out where the problems are, mm-hmm, and then how to solve those problems. He would be perfectly fine by himself for an enormous amount of time. I mean, you know, the last time we saw him, he was in space all by himself. And he was more than happy to kick Dave to the wayside and, you know, kick it by himself for decades in,
yep,
space. So he would have the personality that he'd need the interaction with somebody else. So he'd be fine on his own. You know, he wouldn't get depressed or anything like that, not having human contact. And that's something we're seeing here during these quarantine times is the uptick in depression because people can't interact. HAL wouldn't have those problems, man. He would perfectly adapt to his situation on the island. So I really thought about him as my number one pick. But I just think Bernie Lomax was, you know, the right choice in that spot. But I got to go HAL 9000.
HAL would he would somehow get the animals on his side. I don't know how,
yeah,
but he'd figure it out. He could speak to them. He knows how to read lips, so he could read the animals' conversations. He gets it. He'd be all right there. No one's trying to shut him down. He's just happy.
Yeah. Yeah, he would be happy too. But yeah, he wouldn't have an enemy. And
yeah,
if he did develop an enemy somehow on the island with an animal or whatever the case may be, Mark, I'm taking HAL. Man, HAL's taking it down, man. He'll defeat any sort of animal enemy, viral enemy. He'll figure it out. I think it would be a really interesting film to see how HAL gets through and survives for 2 hours.
That'd be the ultimate art house movie. This computer on an island. I love it.
All right, brother, you're up.
All right, I got a weird one here. And I'm not sure about his survival skills, but I would add Lars Lindstrom from Lars and the Real Girl. I would put him on the island. Because if he can have a relationship with a doll, imagine what he could find on the island by himself. So he wouldn't be lonely. He would start a relationship with a tree. I don't know. You know, he would be able to kind of, I think he would be have an easy time just adapting to life by himself on that island. Does that make sense? I mean, he retreated into a doll girlfriend, so I think he could find coconuts.
Well, you know, maybe he develops a Wilson type relationship with somebody on the island.
Exactly. I mean, he's already proven that he can have a worthwhile relationship with an inanimate object. So if you send him by himself, that's the reason I'm sending him there, is I just think he could find a Wilson and he could rule a bunch of inanimate objects there. That's just what I think. That's my...
Yeah, and mentally, the inanimate would become animate. And I think that would be, you know, you kind of be a like a Lord of the Flies kind of thing with inanimate objects.
Yeah. That wars break out, the entire thing burns down. Is Lars on that island again? As far as loneliness goes, that's why I put him on here, because I feel like he could...
Well, that
he could make friends.
Well, that goes to two of my picks, was thinking, how would people, you know, the adaptive nature of being alone for a long period of time. Yeah, I think that's part of it, that social distancing. How do you handle it? And I think that's key to survival. So I think it's well done by you.
I got to add, this is Lars Lindstrom. Who's your third pick?
I'm going to go with Winston Wolfe from Pulp Fiction.
The Wolfe. Oh, he'd have no problem on the island.
Right, because Winston Wolfe is the man who can solve any problem.
Oh, yeah.
He's the man, right? And he would have – and just think of a two-hour movie with the Wolfe, and just think of the witticisms. You know, him talking to the trees, just talking to, you know, just the interaction he would have with whatever version of Wilson would be. And then just think about him solving problems.
He'd be bartering, you know, with the crabs within a day.
He's very polite, too.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, he's a very polite man, and but he knows how to solve problems. That's why you call the Wolf, is to solve problems. I think that the Wolf would be ideal to see for 2 hours on a desert island solving those problems.
His bamboo home would
honestly
be amazing.
I think that it would be interesting because he would figure a way to get off.
Oh, yeah. He would build a cruise liner out of bamboo. Like, the cruise liners would buy it from him when they found him at sea. He would get crabs to paddle his boat. He would get whales on either side traveling, build the ultimate raft.
Yeah. Huh? You know, just – and he would do it in such an efficient manner. Just be like – but kabing, kabam, kaboom. Like he would identify the problem, and the way his mind works, he would infinitely solve the problem. But the way he would solve it would be better than any of us could have possibly even thought about. Because we'd be under stress, duress. We'd be missing people. He takes emotion out of it. Here are the chess pieces on the board. Let's not have a conversation of where the chess pieces should be. Mm-hmm. This is where they are. Let's solve the problem. And that's why the Wolf would be ideal on a desert island. Quite honestly, I don't even know how long he'd last on the island by himself, Mark. To be quite honest, I think he would maybe, what, a day, two, and he'd be back home.
All right, so here's what he would do. He would do tests, though. So there's different trees on the island. There's different vines. He's not a guy that would make an untested boat on – he wouldn't take an untested boat on the ocean. He would make variations. He would use the wood, like the different kind of trees – maybe bamboo, different fronds, different ropes, different ties, different mud, kind of different situations. And I think he would practice because he knows the severity of an ocean journey on a raft that is not good. I mean, look at what happened to Tom Hanks in Castaway. He lost Wilson. He would build something, but I think he would test it. So I think he would be on the island maybe, would he, like, for a couple months. He would immediately start building, but he would have everything he needed and be like ocean ready. They would find, like I said, they would find him on the ocean, and whoever saw his boat would buy it from him and then make like $1 billion recreating it.
Yeah. So I think you've taken my selection and gone next level on the problem. I don't think it would take him as long though to build that bamboo cruise liner as you think, but you know,
that's going to become a big problem between us. I have a feeling 2 months, 2 days. All right, so I don't know if you've watched this film, but there's a movie called You're Next, and it's a horror film, and what it's about is this kind of wealthy family gets together for their parents' 35th anniversary, and while they're there, these mass killers start killing them. The problem is, the new girlfriend of one of the sons, she grew up in a survivalist compound, and she's like an ultimate survivor, so she just starts killing all the killers. And then she finds out that the family was in on it too, And then she kills all them too. Like, she takes a blender on a guy's head. But, you know, you think that she's just the regular kind of like a Final Girl S type character. But she turns out to be a total survivalist who sets traps. She sets fake traps. She's like winning fights. She knows how to like take care of injuries from her background of being a survivalist and then wiping out a bunch of yuppies with ease while being outnumbered. And she sets traps. Like, I think she would have the island conquered within a couple days. I know you haven't watched the movie, but it's funny. It's a weird kind of comedy, but I'm a big fan of Erin in that film. So I had to include her on my desert island team because I think the island would just quit. I know that's not possible. Islands don't quit. But I think they'd be like, you got us. You won. Here's bountiful coconuts.
I don't know, Mark. I could see nature under certain circumstances giving up. We've seen it before. A thriving garden. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And all of a sudden, if it's not taken care of, it wilts and dies. I could see a human being, just through force of will, having the island give up. I could see that, you know, just the force of will.
If you don't want to watch the movie, Sean, Dead Meat, they do a kill count for movies, and it's about 20 minutes long, just so you can see how tough Erin is. She gets stabbed, shot, but I just love her. She knows traps. She knows how to survive.
What, is she like the John Wick of horror films?
Yeah, I would say so. She's like the John Wick of horror films. It's just so funny because the villains are just so comically out of their league against her. Like, it becomes like a comedy almost. They're just so, like, she just wipes them all out, and I love it. So I had to include Erin Harsin into my list of my four.
That's good. Okay. That puts me on the clock. So I got some ideas here, but you know what? I was thinking about this. Part of this is a movie we'd want to see. What movie character would we want to see on an island, and who could obviously not just survive, but thrive? I got to tell you, man, I was really kind of going around some thoughts here, and then a quote popped into my head, and the quote led me to my round four selection, Mark. All this man needs are some tasty waves, a cool buzz, and he'll be fine. I'm going Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, buddy. He would do just fine. I just heard the quote. You just found out all he needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is a man who saved Brooke Shields and pissed all of that money away having Van Halen play at his birthday. So he already has the mentality on the island that whatever it is, this is where I'm supposed to be.
He would get pizza somehow out to the island. Do you think so?
I'm sorry?
He would get pizza to the island.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, he'd be sitting there and all of a sudden he'd be learning about Cuba, having some food. You know what I'm saying? So I could see him. He would somehow figure out how to – what's it? He would somehow concoct his own smokable plant life to keep him in a certain state of mind. I think he would construct his own surfboard. I think he would do just and the lack of people. I think he'd actually enjoy it. He would enjoy being alone. Probably the majority of the time, he wouldn't even probably realize that he was on an island by himself.
Knowing
might be in a mental state where he might still think he's in Southern California. So I think Spicoli is the man, and I would enjoy spending 2 hours in a theater watching him survive on a desert island.
Knowing his luck, I think that we would see stuff like a surfboard would float to the island. A hammock would already be there. Like, his luck would just carry him through all of that. I don't know why. Like, he would just be, oh, wow, a six-pack. Coors Light, great. I don't know where that flew from, but it's fine. I would love it. It would be him relaxed
on
the beach.
And don't forget his interview that he did with Stu Nahan. And he said, you know, when you think about the kind of the waves, and he'd be, you know, don't forget that he told Stu Nahan on ABC after he won his surfing title, danger is his business.
Yes.
So there you go. I think it's a no-brainer, man.
I want to watch that. I think of all right, so before we go on break, I just want to say, I think the movie I'd want to watch the most now is probably The Wolf, just simply because it would be him figuring stuff out, and it would probably be about 30 minutes. So I'm going for that movie so far. That's the one I want to watch. But when we come back, we each have four more picks, and we'll see who, which is the most interesting of all of them to watch at the very end of this. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. And hey, since I picked the first one the last go around, I'll let you start off this section. So who's your fifth pick? Who do you got, Sean?
When I envision an island, I guess I kind of, you know, your mind kind of goes to like the South Pacific. I mean, No one's thinking you're all alone on an island, you know, off the coast of Massachusetts or something, right? So, you know, but I started thinking in terms of where would this island be? And more likely than not, you think about some deserted island in the South Pacific. And that got me to think, who owns Asia? Who owns the Pan Pacific? Les Grossman.
Yep.
You know, he owns that, Jack. All right. And so I started thinking he already owns it. So Les Grossman is my pick to start off the second and the fifth round here. I think Les Grossman, he is a natural born leader. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can own a Skype call, you know, as he demonstrated by getting the key grip to punch the director. I worry about he wouldn't have enough Diet Coke. So there are some flaws. There's going to be some issues, but kind of like the wolf, the guy's a problem solver. And you saw at the end of Tropic Thunder, he turned lemons into lemonades.
Yeah, he did.
And he's really good at letting other people think that they had a part, but as he instructed, you know, Bill Hader, a monkey could do his job. He's the man. So I'm going Les Grossman to start off the fifth round.
He would yell at a tree and a coconut would fall. You know, he would.
Oh yeah.
He would scream at animals and they just run away. Now I do think he would have one of those withdrawal scenes in movies because of no Diet Coke. Like he would be in a cave for a few days. He would. I mean, the amount of Diet Coke, he always has Diet Coke. So him not getting his caffeine fix, that'd be an interesting thing. We'd see him kind of weakened a little bit, but when he came out stronger, yeah, I think he would come out like a bear after hibernation, and just own that island. When people come to save him, he would charge them for some reason. Like he that would be his island. Like I don't like that would become his new film studio. He'd find out writing tools. Oh my, he'd write a script in rocks. I mean, this guy, I love it. It's a good pick. Big hands.
And think about it. Just let's just say having it. Yeah, I can see him. Obviously, he wouldn't build a raft to leave. He would build he would build an office.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, and so, and then I could just see him over the course of time. The universe is talking, Mark.
Yeah.
You just have to listen. And like I said, you know, the man, as soon as he heard about flaming dragons, he let them know what they could do with their face, right? He owns the Pan Pacific. So I just think that regionally, he already knows the area. He already owns it. He's the man. There would be some flaws. Like you said, the Diet Coke fix would be an issue. Obviously, the weight as far as eating. I don't know, you know. But the man's a survivor. The man knows how to make it. So I just like the wolf. He'll figure it out. So, yeah. So I got to go Les Grossman. I want to see Les Grossman on that island.
He would hate the foliage because it doesn't move for him, though. So he would kind of have to learn some things about himself. Hey, tree, move. And it doesn't move.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it's not a perfect pick, man. I mean, like I said, there's definite holes in his game. So that he would have – there would be some definite need for some self-awareness and some self-improvement.
There'd be character development in this film.
Yeah. Yeah. And is he – does he have the mental fortitude of self-awareness and self-improvement? I don't know that answer, but that's why he's a fifth-round pick.
I love it. All right. That's a good one. I got a weird one for you. And I was just thinking about this. In the movie, there's something about Mary. Mary is basically, when you meet her, she's basically, like, the way the Farley brothers write her, she's essentially the perfect character. Just loves football, super cool, plays golf, really chill. So I'd like to see Mary dumped on an island, because just like the wolf, I think she would just, people, are you okay? Like, you've been here for 6 years, are you fine? And then, like, she would just have the most brilliant place ever built. Like, all the ropes, she'd have no problems with anything. Like, it would just be the perfect setting. Does that make sense? So I think it'd be funny for There's Something About Mary to be on that island, because it would be the most drama-free movie ever, because I think she would just figure it out. And I know that's weird, but I just think it's funny to me.
It's funny. I really was, you know, kind of the way, like, NFL scouts, you know, when they travel to USC or Notre Dame or, you know, Alabama, I got to tell you, I definitely did a – Team Sean did a recruiting trip on their Something About Mary. We took a hard look at some of the potential options. I ended up not going that route, but I kind of – I'm now revisiting it because I think you've made a pretty powerful argument. Actually, it was kind of funny you say that because I was thinking of The Hitchhiker personally from There's Something About Mary because, you know, this is a guy that I think – can you imagine the kind of shape he would be in? He only has – you know, he only had 7 minutes,
yeah,
you know, to create those abs, but he'd have all the time in the world. So I was kind of looking at him. But Mary, what I like about your pick is – what I like about her is her heart.
Yeah.
And I think that ultimately, genuine good nature would ultimately allow her to adapt to the environment. You know what I'm saying? Like when you talked about Aaron and she would defeat nature, mm-hmm. I think nature would come and help her.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I think nature would come alive almost like – trees would all of a sudden start growing in a way to provide her shelter because everybody around Mary wants to do whatever you could possibly do to make her happy, right? So yeah. I think nature would adapt to her much more so than Mary would have to adapt to nature.
And like think about, you know, that scene in Three Amigos when everything's singing, the wolves, the cactuses, the turtles, like everything's just singing together. That would be her on that island. She would have a cool, like they'd all be chilling together, singing songs at night, squirrels making fires. It would just be the most ideal thing. And then she could make all the rope structures herself. I bet the canoe she makes would probably be almost just like probably just as good as the wolf's. So yeah, I like movies about very capable people. And so I think this would be a movie about a very capable person. So I think she'd be fine on a desert island.
I gotta give you credit. I think it's a solid choice. It's an absolute solid choice. All right, here. So now we're in round six. Okay, now we start getting into some.
Uh-oh, what, your later picks? What are you saying here?
Into some different. What?
Your later picks? Is that what you're saying? Or are you going into some funky picks?
No, well, you know, like I said, you know, when you get into, you know, you go for, you know, you kind of go for the big ticket items in the beginning. And now in round six, I think this is where you draft for upside. You draft for, I think I'm more willing to take some risks in the later rounds, you know, identify the traits and then let's see what happens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, once you put X person on desert island, it will be interesting. Kind of like Les Grossman. Okay. I'm willing to take the chance to put him on that island and see what happens. I think he has all the skill sets to survive and do well until we put him out there. We don't know. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what we're kind of getting into, that kind of thing. So I really was thinking this is going to be kind of an odd pick simply because it's an entity. It's not a singular person, but whenever you think about this entity, you think of them as a singular, okay? You think of them in a singular term. You don't bifurcate them out. I'm going to Three Amigos. They are survivors, man, and I view them as one. I don't view Chevy Chase, Martin Short, or Steve Martin as any individual. No, they're kind of their own organism. Think about them, man. I mean, put them on that island. They are going to adapt, adjust, and improvise.
Tell them it's a movie.
You know, like the Marine Corps. And you know what? Because you know, and you know, this gets back to something you said earlier about skin cancer and, you know, things like that. You know Chevy Chase is going to have an enormous amount of water and lip balm on him at all times. So, I think he's just institutionally prepared to be there.
And their hats will be great for the island.
They'll be great. And they are problem solvers. Even if they don't know how to solve the problem, they innately solve the problem. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So anything that happens on that island, that triumvirate, most likely by accident, will solve the problem. I mean, we saw them out in the desert. Yep. We saw them with the singing bush. I mean,
and they have weapons.
Look, I mean, they even killed the invisible man. Who can kill an invisible man?
They took out El Guapo.
The Three Amigos. Yeah, they defeated El Guapo. I mean, you know, so it'll be a challenge for them. I'm not here to tell you. I mean, they are incredibly pampered. I mean, they were the Brad Pitt. They were Brangelina. You know, as far mm-hmm. as highly paid, pampered actors in their time. So there would be some adaptive reuse that would have to happen here. But the three amigos as an entity, you know, put them on that island, we're good to go.
And their bone structure is pretty tough, too, because some of them, they slam into walls and nothing breaks. So, I mean, they're stronger than usual. I do think there'd be a scene involving Chevy Chase riding some kind of big animal that's all flat, slapsticky. And I do think Steve Martin would get caught in a homemade trap from a tree. That would be some good gags right. in there.
And what happens if an enemy shows up? Their acting slash improv skills will allow them to talk their way through mm-hmm. any situation. So let's just say we believe that we put them on that island. They're alone on that island. We as viewers believe they're on an island. But what if they're not? What if everyone assumed it was a desert island, but there's some like group of folks on the other side of the island that nobody knew about, some indigenous kind of people, and they showed up? They could handle that. They'd win them over.
And win them over.
Yeah. The three amigos were they're round six, and I kind of think they could have gone higher, to be quite honest with you, but they're still sitting there at six. So the three amigos are my choice.
So I picked more than eight, and I wanted to maybe originally include Joe Dirt into the list because he spends a lot of time alone. Ooh. He walks around with meteors that are turds. He can talk to him, but you pick Spicoli, and I think their journeys would be too similar. They would just
not to interrupt, but I went Spicoli, but another guy like that you're describing that I took off my list because of Spicoli is I took Chuck, Paul Rudd's character for Forgetting Sarah Marshall. He was somebody that was on my prospect list, but Coley over Chuck. So I hear what you're saying as far as the journey. You know, they're too similar.
So I'm going to add Ernest P. Worrell instead. Now, Ernest P. Worrell, he knows how to build everything. When you've seen his home, he builds invention after invention. Also, this man has been attacked by badgers and lived. He's been electrocuted and lived. He's fallen from a quarter mile and survived. He's defeated ancient trolls. And he can pick up ancient trolls easily that weigh at least 100 pounds and hold them extended in his arms. He's powerful, he's inventive, and it would be fun to watch him try to get off the island because he would just fail over and over. Like, he would come up with the weirdest things, and then the gags of him wiping out would be brilliant. So just Ernest on the island would be, or Ernest, let's see, Ernest goes to the island, I don't know, and just watch him. Hey, Vern, like, there's no Vern. Like, he's just talking to different things. You know, maybe he meets some people there. They become friends, and they just watch him as he does stupid gags. Getting hit by coconuts. He develops machines to take coconuts down from trees. He's not killing any animals. You've never seen that. But, yeah, just seeing him survive. And also, Jim Varney was, I know somebody who worked on Ernest Goes to Camp when I worked on film sets. And they said that sometimes they would drop him off on a Friday, pick him up on a Sunday, and he would just live out in the woods for the weekend, just to get away from set and all that kind of stuff, because he was like a Kentucky boy who liked to be outside. So, Jim Varney, Ernest, he'd have no problems on this island. It would be a blast.
You know, one of the things about being isolated on an island is, as we talked about, is falling into some sort of social depression, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about that. One thing I like about your pick with Ernest is I think that he could develop and interact with a whole group of imaginary friends that would help him on that island. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. And Ernest Scared Stupid, he has multiple personalities. So he's 18 different characters. He would be –
That's going to be an incredibly important skill set to survival. I mean, he could basically create his own one-man community, and in his mind, everything's real.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's kind of like the Horde, you know, from
Legion.
You know, yeah. Well, no, I was thinking the Horde, Unbreakable.
So Legion's the same character too. That like in their heads, they have a bunch of different people.
Got it. So yeah, so it's that ability, you know, that ability to kind of create your own sense of community, people to talk to. I think it'd be actually fascinating. And I think Jim Varney's ability to do that and the gags would be hilarious. And he would, in his mind, have people to witness the gags and laugh.
Man, I love it. And you know what's crazy, too, when you watch his early movies? He was very wiry strong. Like, he was just the those guys that are just 150, but they're just wiry and they could pick you up over their head? He'd be climbing trees. He could shovel for days. Like, I don't think he could take, he would have no problem just keeping plugging along. He's just a strong, wiry dude who would have some zany pratfalls, and I would love it.
I got to tell you, that you kind of caught me off guard with that pick, but I kind of like it. I can kind of see me paying to see that movie.
Good. That makes me
happy. You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of there with you. So,
Let's see. Your seventh pick?
I haven't gone with a few. Go ahead.
Your seventh pick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going Erica Albright, okay? This is the Rooney Mara character at the beginning of The Social Network. You know, this is a woman that could be married to a billionaire, right?
Yeah.
But just on sheer principle alone,
yeah,
she basically told him, you know, you're going to be a very successful computer person, but no one will like you because you're an ass.
Big time.
That kind of person I want to see on an island by themselves. This is a person that is going to figure it out. She's not going to take no for an answer, and she's not going to accept mediocrity in her life.
No.
That's the kind of personality I want to see. And you got to think of the Rooney Mara kind of dynamic as Erica Albright in that situation, right? I think this is a kind of a part and parcel kind of thing. Cause I kind of was like trying to figure out how to get Rooney. I think Rooney Mara could by herself could survive, personally. But this was the character that really kind of came to me that was just, no matter what situation happens, anybody if God forbid she meets somebody, God forbid, you know, but she would not accept the status quo on that island. She would figure it out in some way, shape, or form and not accept mediocrity. And that is the kind of grit and determination that is going to get you through. Those are kind of survival skills that you will need.
What I like about this pick is that her character would have such a different trajectory than all of our other characters. You have Michael Myers stalking around. Storm basically takes care of herself. Ernest P. Worrell's building everything out of nothing. Lars is finding friends. Aaron conquers nature. Mary makes friends with nature. Then we have your pick. So we have Bernie. He would just kind of get by pretty easily. Hal would study everything. The Wolf would figure everything out. Spicoli would chill. Les would try to conquer. The Three Amigos would goofily figure things out. But Erica Albright, she would have to start from scratch on everything. But since she's such a perfectionist, I think that it would be an interesting watch to see her on there and the learning. And once again, I like capable characters. And then just watching her learn on this island would be a lot of fun. Just making mistakes and correcting it and not stopping. I think it'd make for a very intriguing narrative.
But just think, like, just in that movie, The Social Network, think of her character.
Yeah.
She's only in it. I mean, I know she has a kind of a second scene later, but for that, she's in that movie, you know, opens that movie for the first, whatever it is, 7 minutes, 8 minutes. But she is such a force of nature.
Oh, yeah.
That she's almost as big in that movie as anybody else. And that's the dynamic I want to see. Just that, you know, injecting herself, her force of will. She doesn't have any special skills. She's not going to be goofy. She will be a survivor. I think when somebody finally finds her, picks her up, she's going to be no worse for wear. It sucked, but this is what I did. This is how I figured it out. And people are going to be like, damn.
She'll have a book. She'll have a book tour. She'll have the on-pod. She'll be famous after she gets off this island. All right. So I guess my seventh pick here, and I just picked Ernest P. Worrell. So there's a movie I don't know if you've watched or even heard of, but it's called Revenge. It's a French film. And basically what it is this woman goes out on a hunting trip. Some really horrible revenge traps transpire. It's basically a rape revenge film. But she survives after they push her off a cliff and she lands on a cactus, like an old plant. She gets stabbed through the stomach. She survives somehow. And she has to kind of repair the wound on her chest. She takes a beer can. She cauterizes, like she makes it really hot. Then she cauterizes her wound, and that beer can has a phoenix on it, so she gets this, like, beer can phoenix tattoo to cauterize the wound on her, and then she goes on the offensive against the three hunters. And every single time, I mean, she's stepping on glass, she's getting cut, she's getting shot, she gets her ear blown off. Every fight with these men is just ugly and brutal, and at the end, she is just left completely burnt because she's out in the desert, just tired, exhausted, but none of it was pretty, but she survived. So I think her on this island, Jennifer from Revenge, played by Matilda Anna Ingrid Lutz would be a really fascinating journey, because Aaron would conquer nature. You know, we have already gone over that. But her journey in this would be kind of ugly, but she would make it and survive, which I think is another narrative that would be fun in this movie. So she's tough as nails. I mean, she got stabbed through the back and chest, put a beer can tattoo, like, cauterized on her, then took out three hunters in incredibly violent and, like, bloody scenes. So I just think her journey in this island would be gnarly and kind of bloody and just kind of gross. So that's why I would like to see her journey on this island. First time she goes to go after this hunter, she grabs his gun, but he knows she's there, and she goes to grab the gun, and it's unloaded. And the guy's like, I drew you in. You think I would leave a gun right there? So I just think it's more of a... I don't think trouble finds her. I just think whatever can go wrong does in these circumstances. Like, she's in a gunfight, and she steps on glass. Like, she's trying to run away from a guy, and the floor is covered in blood, and you slip. It's just one of those everything that can go wrong.
But that's that would be fascinating, because when you think about a lot of the picks that we've had, it's like I'll go back to, you know, Aaron again, the idea that nature would submit to her. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about the way you describe this character is that when you're alone on an island, you know, let's just be real here. The person may have to adapt to what's happening around them, right? Yeah. Foreign, you know, just all the foreign things. And the way you describe this is whatever problem she's trying to solve, there's going to be some other things that happen, right? There's going to be other issues she's going to have to work. Like, it just sounds like things are going to happen and she's going to work through it. And to me, that's a lot different than a lot of the selections that we've had so far, is that it'd be an interesting watch, because she's going to be trying to build something and something's going to fall on her.
Exactly. To climb a tree, to get a coconut, falls, rolls her ankle.
So to me, that's where... You know, that's where that would be interesting, because we have a lot of pics of people inflicting their personalities onto the island. This seems to go the other way around, and
that's a good point. I like what you said there. She wouldn't inflict herself on it. The island would inflict itself on her.
By virtue of that, that's right. An interesting watch.
Yeah, I loved her journey in this movie, so I had to do it.
We're kind of in our last one, and I was – this one I was kind of saving, because I was trying to think of the ultimate survivor. In movie lore, who is the ultimate survivor? And
– that's it. Mad Max, maybe?
Yeah. I was trying to think of somebody that is kind of like, you know, this is going to be – the only thing I worry about – I don't think it's too similar to Ernest, but I just think somebody who is the ultimate survivor knows how to work people. They know how to work the environment. They know just how to work it, and they always come out just doing just fine, no matter what happens. And so in the last round, I gotta go Cousin Eddie from Vacation, man.
oh, he'd be perfect.
Yeah. I mean, even in such fine films like Vegas Vacation, you know, when Clark needed money, Cousin Eddie was already thinking about a quarantine 15 years ago. Yep. He was already thinking about, because he hid all the money. He had it buried all around his trailer. Mm-hmm. And he was able to – so here's Clark that it gave away and all the money in the world, the college education, everything. Who did Clark go to? He went to Cousin Eddie, man, mm-hmm. right? And Cousin Eddie had the money all around that he was able to – he was able to bail out Clark, where Clark would be dead probably in
– oh, man, that'd be bad.
Cousin Eddie would be the man, right? You know, this is a guy, like, just think about Christmas Vacation, right? Think about how the chair, right? You know, after the fire on the tree, what did Clark do? He was going to throw the chair out. Mm-hmm. What did Cousin Eddie see? He saw an opportunity to fumigate said chair and put it in his RV.
That's right.
That's the kind of guy that's gonna make it on that island. Not seeing the negative, but always seeing the positive. And that, my man, doesn't it?
Didn't he cook food on rocks? And then didn't he have poisonous snakes for his kids to catch? I mean, he would have no problem with poisonous snakes. He wouldn't care what he ate. He wouldn't care about being clean. He would just show up, and I think the island would want him gone, the mess he makes in it. I think he wouldn't have any, like, just any snake that comes out, oh, I can catch that. Like, he just doesn't care. Like, I think he'd be, of all these people, he would just show up there and be the most comfortable immediately. Like, Spicoli, if Spicoli was in Jennifer's situation, he'd be in trouble. But Cousin Eddie, if he was in any situation, he'd just figure it out. I like that. That's a good pick.
I just think that there would be no situation that would happen on that island that would overwhelm Cousin Eddie, where he wouldn't be able to adapt and just see the positive. You mean the man always sees the positive in every situation. And I think that attitude goes a long way on surviving on an island. And I think that Cousin Eddie, of all our picks, I think has the best attitude about life. And that's going to go a long way.
I think if a hurricane hit the island, aside from storm, Cousin Eddie would be the least worried about it. Because he would just grab onto a tree. Oh. He'd be fine. You know, he'd probably grab a crab floating by and eat it. Like, he has no problem. He would love a hurricane.
Yeah, he would view it as an opportunity. View it as an opportunity to, you know, to have a nice good breeze blowing through because, you know, things have been a little static around that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, that's how he would view a hurricane hitting the island.
Yeah, he would not care. Every other person would be mortified. But he just – and then he would see all the fish that wash up. He'd be so happy. He'd cook them all. You know, he could make a fire, no problem. No problem.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's I feel like of all the picks, the man that would have the best attitude and see everything as a positive. No matter what happened on that island, he would somehow figure out a positive. And you know what? Attitude goes a long way, brother.
All right. So for my final pick, I'm going with another ultimate survivor. I'm going with a super survivor. So I'm picking Preacher from Deep Blue Sea. And the reason I'm picking Preacher is because he's a chef. He basically lives on an island that's in the middle of nowhere. He's in a structure in the middle of the ocean, which is basically an island. A storm hits, and he's not a scientist. Nothing he does there is his fault, but he is attacked by a shark. He kills that shark. He blows that shark up in a kitchen brawl. Like, he takes that thing out. As the film progresses, he gets attacked by the alpha shark and is bit in the leg. And he somehow has the wherewithal to pull a cross off of his neck and start stabbing the alpha 40-foot shark that's biting his leg in the eye. He escapes that. Then after massive blood loss, he wakes up and he sees that Carter Blake is in trouble. He picks up a spear gun, shoots it into the shark, attaches it to electricity, and blows it up. I mean, this guy was just the chef in this, and he survived something that wasn't his fault. So he's also a cook. He knows how to make things. He's basically just a survivor. And he thinks on his feet. He's extremely tough. So his time on the island, he would definitely be complaining like he is in the movie. But just the sheer stuff that he survives would make him a prime candidate just to get by on the island. And I would like to see him just complaining, figuring things out, being LL Cool J. I would like to see LL Cool J's Preacher from Deep Blue Sea on an island. I just would love to see that. So that's my final pick.
He would be by far, I like the way you describe it. Like, I always think about that scene when he's in the kitchen and he has to figure out a way to get the hell out of that kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I mean, that's kind of like John Wick, you know, killing somebody with a pencil. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're right. He's a cook. He's not part of some fraternal society of assassins like John Wick. I mean, John Wick is trained, right? This guy, I mean, he's not trained to do anything. And he somehow goes from 0 to 60 and becoming, you know, a badass. So you take that adaptive skill and put him on an island. It's going to be interesting to see what he comes up with on how to survive. Because probably more than anyone else, his story arc and journey would be interesting because of what he would come up with to survive. Yeah. And we probably can't even think about that right now, but his adaptive mind would really do some interesting things while stuck on that island.
Yeah, I think I just want that movie. I like Preacher from LL Cool J. He's never going to pop up in another Deep Blue Sea movie, so I want him in this. So that's why I went with him. Now, I got something for you.
Hey, and you think about it. I mean, you know, Samuel L. Jackson wouldn't survive on the island. So, you know, from Deep Blue Sea. So, you know, and it was interesting when doing all these movies. It was just kind of funny. Like, I kind of thinking of characters. There were some other really good ones I thought about, but they die in the movie.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, can you really pick somebody that doesn't make it? Does that make sense? Like, yeah. I was really kind of debating that because I felt like that would be a big plot hole. One of the people I did think about, I mean, I had some good ones here, but you think like about like Mola Ram.
Yeah.
But Mola Ram would be great in so many ways, but he didn't make it.
No.
And so if he can't make it in the, you know, in his story arc when we know him, how is he going to make it on the island? And so that was kind of like the one thing I kind of was, you know, hanging on to is if you don't make it, would you be able to survive on that island? And, you know, so did you have any like people in your hamper that didn't make the cut?
I had the dude from Big Lebowski. And then I also originally had Nolan from Predators, but that's too easy because he lived by himself for 20 years on a Predator planet. And then I had Janet Van Dyne from Ant-Man and the Wasp because she lived in the Phantom Realm for 30 years. And then Atlanta from Aquaman, she lived in the core of the Earth for many years. But that was just too easy, so I went for kind of harder picks. But that's all I had. What about you?
I had some different ones. I didn't, she's one of my favorite characters. But, I was thinking about, Amy Dunn. You know, I thought that, but she was my first pick in the last draft, so I didn't want, I didn't want to go that route. I didn't want to copy, but I felt that she would have been pretty interesting to be on a desert island. So I was thinking about her. This one I was debating, and I didn't pull the trigger on it, but Russell Hammond from Almost Famous I thought would be kind of a fascinating character study. I thought about McLovin from Superbad. He was another one that was kind of in my hamper of targets. And then the other one was it was just kind of funny because you brought it up before we came on. We were just – when we were getting ready to do this. But I thought about MacGruber. I thought that would have been a fascinating spin on it. So those are a couple other ones that I was kind of kicking around. They just didn't have enough powerful – they weren't as powerful as the eight I selected. So and what I'm going to be fascinated by is as people listen to this, what kind of comments you get. I hope that people get really have a good time with it and maybe – are a little more interactive on movies, films, and flicks and give us some of their thoughts and their comments on who they would want to see on a desert island by themselves. Because I'll bet you your audience and you're what? You're number one in Chile right now? If I read that the other day.
Yeah, number one in Chile. We were 5 in Ireland, 14 Great Britain, 12 in Australia.
I'd really like to see what the Chilean audience had to say about this.
Yeah, they would love it. Now, Let's do something. Let's pick our favorites. So I'll pick my favorite from your group, and so I'll pick my two favorites from my group and your group. So we'll pick our favorites from each list, and which movies you think would be the most interesting to watch.
Okay.
That you'd want.
All right, you go first.
All right. So for me, watching a movie, how about this? If I'm directing a movie, the movie that I want to see is.
So you're Robert Zemeckis. You're out there with your Tom Hanks making this movie. So that's what we're saying here, right?
Yeah. All right. So I got to pick one from mine and one from yours.
Okay.
All right. So I'm Zemeckis. I want to make a movie. I got to send one of these people from your group to an island. I'm going to go. All right. It's two people it's down to, Les Grossman or Erica Albright. I love The Wolf, but it would just be it would be a 20-minute movie. So I just want to. All right. I think Erica will be a really interesting film, a very capable person. I just want to see the character development of Les Grossman from your list. I want to see him become less selfish. I want to see him yell at trees and then realize trees won't move for him, and then he has to do things for himself because he's so used to assistance. So I want that movie. And then from my list, I'm actually quite intrigued by Jennifer. I just want to see everything bad. Like, it would be like a jungle survival movie. And that's kind of what I think would be a really interesting watch, just figuring everything out and having all the worst things sort of like, you know, whatever bad can happen, happens. So I want Ernest B. Worrell to be fun too, but I want to see Jennifer and I want to see Les Grossman. So which two would you pick?
All right. From your list, if I had a, you know, I'm making Castaway and, you know, I gotta put, you know, put one. I you know, it's so funny, but I gotta go with your last and final pick. I mean, I gotta go LL Cool J and Preacher, man. I think that that would be such a fascinating, you know, movie to make. I think it would be a fascinating movie to watch, simply because just the character development that would occur over the course of 2 hours in that movie with Preacher. You know what I'm saying? And we probably get, you know, obviously we would get a little bit more backstory of, you know, maybe we find out that he has, like, you know, maybe, you know, like Taken, you know, maybe we all of a sudden, you know, in the middle of the movie, we find out that he has a special set of skills that, you know, that we didn't even know about, you know what I'm saying? And so I think just learning more about, over the course of the movie, learning about who he is, how he became a chef. You know, maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just think that there would be so many intriguing plot points in the character development as he's surviving, to me, would be the most fascinating. And then obviously just how he would figure out surviving.
Yeah.
I think would be kind of a fun movie to do. And then from my list, you know, you can go a lot of different ways. You know, is it a comedy? Is it going to be this? Because, you know, just different things. But the one that I just really, really loved, I loved it when I was putting together my list. I actually didn't take him number one. I was worried that you might even go there. But Winston Wolfe would be a fascinating one. Just, you know, of all the scenes in Pulp Fiction, the one that still, every time I watch that movie, I almost pause and just start laughing out loud, is when they call the wolf. It's like 7:30 a.m. and he's in a hotel room in a tux, and there's like all these people in this this penthouse that are like, it looks like it's like 10 o'clock in the evening, and it's like, everyone's fully dressed, and it's like, what would be over the course of 2 hours the character study of learning more about Winston Wolfe, you know, like as you watch him solve problems, you would learn more about the wolf. And then obviously, you know, come on, I mean, just the biting quotes that would come out of the movie. They would be epic. You know, you would be quoting him for the end of time. You know what I'm saying? So just the dialogue alone would be just brilliant. So Winston Wolfe from my list would be the one I would want to watch. And from your list, I'd have to go Preacher.
All right. Well, this was fun, man. Thank you so much for joining me.
This, I'll tell you what, we've done three. Obviously, you know, we did, I think you mischaracterized it. It's not just the best Bond movie. I think it's the best movie of all time, Quantum of Solace. I thought that was a great one. But, you know, the last one was interesting. It was different. It was goofy. It's kind of fits our personalities. But of the three we've done, Mark, this one I think has got some legs here, buddy.
Nice.
I think this one's going to get some comments. I think we're going to get some really interesting thoughts from your listeners.
I like it. I like the topics, and we want to hear what you think about. So head over to Movies, Films, and Flicks Facebook, or just head to moviesfilmsandflicks.com, or Twitter, or Instagram, and just comment and let us know who you think should be on a desert island. But thank you for joining me, Sean.
You got it, bud.
All right, so for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, and for Sean, is in denial that Quantum of Solace is not... Wait, Quantum of Solace is the worst movie ever made. That's what I was trying to say. Sean Alvishire, this is Movies, Films, and Flicks. We'll see you next week.